found was that kangaroos are having a very marked impact on vegetation and the soils in places where they're very abundant because dingoes are rare. And conversely, where there was lots of dingoes, there were very few kangaroos, and kangaroos had almost no impact on the vegetation or soils.
Is this country that is a national park, or is it grazing country? Who's the owner? Who's tending
it? We were working in a national park. There were no livestock in the country, but there were very large numbers of kangaroos. So what we found was that where the grazing by kangaroos was very heavy, the amounts of phosphorus, nitrogen and carbon in the soil were depleted.
What information can you extrapolate from that if you dig down into those findings?
Well, we're not 100% certain. It's probably the next phase of our study, but we expect that those soils that have been had their nutrient levels depleted by heavy grazing will actually have smaller booms when it rains. And, of course, much of Western New South Wales, it really relies upon the soil being able to respond to rainfall events, and so the soil being able to support growth when the water is actually there. But if there's less nutrient in the soil, there will actually be less growth. We tend to talk about overgrazing and think that's just sheep and cattle and goats, but it's actually sheep, cattle, goats and kangaroos.
There has also been a theory that kangaroos would regulate their own populations.
Well, they do regulate their own populations, but in a disastrous way for ecosystems. When there's no what we call top-down pressure on, or very little top-down pressure on kangaroos, and what I mean by that is some sort of predation, whether it's dingoes killing kangaroos or people killing kangaroos, what happens is that their numbers track rainfall, they track the vegetation. When you get a boom, a big rainfall event, kangaroo numbers go up, but when it busts, the kangaroo populations bust as well. In the process of busting, they eat everything and then they die in vast numbers. And at that busting phase, of the kangaroos, along with all the other grazers, can do great damage to the country. I think we need to think very hard about how we view kangaroos as a result, so, and the purposes of the various programs we run to manage kangaroo numbers. I think that trying to manage the existing numbers of kangaroos as a sustainable harvest, for example, is actually leaving us prone to overgrazing, and we really need to be looking at reducing kangaroo numbers a bit more if we want to maintain the fertility of our landscapes. And that said, we need to think about all of the grazers as well, so thinking collectively that kangaroos are part of that total grazing pressure and not somehow or other separate to it.
So where do you take these findings? What's the next stage?
Oh, I think the next stage is really for us to think hard about how we're managing kangaroos and what the implications are for the environment, and really asking some very hard questions about the numbers of kangaroos that our ecosystems can support and we want them to support. But, yeah, I think across much of the country there's too many kangaroos.
What you're saying would sort of indicate that you're talking about some sort of active management rather than a sort of a laissez-faire attitude where the country will just look after itself.
I think so. We do need to actively manage it, and we need to be, I think, careful that we're not in the process of actually making, you know, what are in effect kangaroo farms when the kangaroos are usurping all the resources for other animals and plant growth. If we want to have biodiverse ecosystems, then say for other animals need to have resources to live in as well. They need to have vegetation to hide in, or the growth of vegetation to support their needs as well. At the moment, kangaroos are taking much of that.
In previous research, there has been the suggestion that removing the dingo has been the thing that has done all the damage, and the suggestion that reintroducing the dingo into some of that country would be the first step in fixing a problem. Do you think, from what you're seeing, that that is a realistic proposition?
I don't think that's a realistic proposition. I think that looking at what dingoes do, I think, helps to inform us about how we maybe should think about managing ecosystems to make them healthier. It's not possible to grey sheep like we do in New South Wales and have dingoes. So I think we need to be looking at other solutions. But we could be acting a little bit more like dingoes ourselves, and in terms of actually, you know, possibly setting higher harvest levels or taking, you know, more affirmative actions to reduce kangaroo numbers and then get the flow, the similar sorts of flow-on effects through ecosystems. I think that's a more realistic way to look ahead.
It is particularly difficult in Australia to think of it as scientifically and pragmatically as that when kangaroos are such an emotionally charged topic.
Yes, I mean, kangaroos are a controversial topic, and for many reasons. They're a national symbol. They can be damaging to landscapes. They make it dangerous to drive on roads when there's large numbers of them. But I think we need to be very practical and about some of these questions and take the emotion out of it. Otherwise, it becomes environmentally unsustainable. And if we think about driving, it actually becomes unsafe. And we've learned a lot of these lessons, or the same things have occurred in other parts of the world. For example, in parts of Europe and North America, where, again, there's large numbers of deer and they pose similar hazards to what kangaroos do in Australia. It's the same story.